Hello and welcome to The Selection Show. With me today I have Citywire A-rated Roger Coerens, Senior Portfolio Manager and Head of European Real Estate at Cohen & Steers. Roger, could you tell us a little bit about your role at Cohen & Steers and what funds you manage there?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me. So I joined Cohen & Steers in 2008 and I'm in a PM now since 10 years. We manage European funds, but also global funds and actually international funds, but that's more from a US perspective. So we're a US firm. We're very well known in the US of managing REITs. We're the largest firm in the REIT market. AUM of us is around 80 billion. Out of that is around 50 billion is REITs.
Okay, sure. And of course, the real estate sector has come under increasing scrutiny of late. We've had interest rates spiking and hybrid working has revolutionized the way we live and work. So we're going to be talking about where the market is today. So let's kick off, Roger. First of all, can you tell me, REITs have struggled in recent years. Could you provide some insight as to why this is and whether you believe they've kind of passed that low point?
Yeah, no, definitely. We've had a rough time, call it like that, especially because interest rates have increased by the fastest pace in 40 years. So I've never seen that. So it was a bit like a global financial crisis moment, GFC moment for the sector. I think we're past the worst, call it like that. I think if you look at the central banks, they've kind of stopped raising. In Europe, they've begun to lower the rate somewhat. I think inflation has been past the worst. So I think overall, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, call it like that. And it's not the train that's coming towards us. It's definitely a better world for the REIT market that we're looking at. The main issue is still probably inflation somewhat.
Right.
I think you don't want to have inflation being too sticky or too high. I would say the sweet spot would probably be around 2%, 2.5% inflation. In Europe, we're seeing those numbers. So we see some countries leading, Switzerland, Sweden,
It's
definitely lowering the rates and being quite dovish. So I think that's good. But it's not only about the short rates, obviously. It's also about the long-term rates. So I think this is where the growth comes into kind of the mix, the growth of the economy. And I think if you look at the world, we're quite in an insecure phase. So I would say Europe isn't growing that fast, which I see as a positive. For real estate, you would argue, okay, it's not good for all sectors. But I think for the defensive sectors that we kind of have in our universe, it's pretty good. You've got steady cash flows, some decent growth, some inflation link. So it's a bit a bond product, but bond plus growth.
Yeah.
And I think this is what gives people a certain cash flow, a good yield, and decent growth.
Okay, sure. There seems to be a bit of a disconnect at the moment in terms of valuations between REITs and private real estate. What do you think REITs can tell you about the direct market and vice versa?
Yeah, REITs are definitely more volatile. So I would say on the good times, REITs will go up more than the direct market. They tend to trade at premiums at certain times. And I think for the REIT market, that's a good thing. Yeah. If you have a premium, you can issue shares, you grow externally. That's something that the direct market can't do.
Yeah.
So this is when our companies kind of flourish.
Yeah.
And this is the example where the US REIT market has flourished for many, many years. I mean, the average returns have been quite in line with the Dow Jones before the sell-off. Mm-hmm. And something that not a lot of people know about our sector. So I would say we've done very well over a long period, especially the US REIT market. The US REIT market is a bit different than Europe. US REIT market is a bit more FFO focused, cash flow focused, where Europe tends to be a little bit more NAV focused. So we always try to put the focus a bit more on the cash flow in Europe also. Yeah. So we talk to the companies as an active investor who say, hey, NAV, okay, it's a thing, mm-hmm. but we're in this business for the cash flow and the cash flow growth. And I think this is where the listed market in Europe can still improve somewhat and hopefully will continue to improve going forward. The second issue, I think, if you compare the direct and then the listed market, the last 12 months when we were in a downturn, or the last 24 months, which were tough, is that, yes, the REITs will correct more on the downside versus the direct market. And today, where are we? I think we've had some write-downs. We obviously look forward with our team and our own numbers. I think there's another 5 to 10% write-downs to come in the direct market. But based on our numbers, we have discounts to NAV that are wider than those 5 to 10%. So I think generally speaking, I would say the REIT market is still somewhat oversold to the direct market. But, you know, what needs to happen? You will need to have interest from retail investors or from, you know, institutionals that say, hey, we're going to invest in the listed REIT market again. And I think today on the professional or the institutional market, they have a little bit an issue. So they would say we're over-allocated real estate, mostly because of the private holdings. They could see the arbitrage opportunity in REITs versus private, but they can't sell the private. So they say there's no liquidity in the private part. So, yeah, then it makes it a little bit difficult to say, hey, you know, we're going to allocate more capital to listed at this point. So you really need a new source of money, which could be the retail investor. In Europe, it's a bit difficult because we've had all the open-ended funds. UK, they're all gated, they don't deliver. So, yeah, you come with a new product that you can offer. And, yeah, I think hopefully we're able as a sector to attract that capital now because, yes, we think it's a relatively good time to invest in REITs again. So it's a relatively good entry point. There's still some risks around the sector, inflation, but I think, you know, the worst is behind us. But at the same time, and that's what you see with the retail investor nowadays, they've got very high expectations on returns. They would say they look at the tech, the Magnificent Seven, or, you know, we've got those shares in Europe too. Some people say, I need a 20% return almost, you know, in a quarter. Yeah, that's not what we deliver. We should deliver in a normal, stable market, let's say 8 to 10% annualized. And that's what the sector can do. And we are behind that number, obviously, given what has happened. So, looking forward, I would say, and that's where the expectations somewhat are for the sector, an 8% return annualized should be possible based on income and based on some inflation hedge.
Okay, sure. Of course. We've seen something of a spike in mergers and acquisitions within the European REIT space of late. Could you tell me, Roger, what's driving this and how might that support the market?
Yeah, I think two things. We own some self-storage companies, smaller ones, that have been taken out. One in Norway and one in the UK, actually. I think that's a bit more a specific thing that it's a good sector. The private market or the listed market likes to expand the exposure to the sector. So that's really a specific real estate thing. Then we've seen a little bit more M&A of companies in the UK, larger companies buying externally managed vehicles to kind of grow. And I think, you know, that's where those management teams probably say, hey, we've seen the correction. Our stock price is trading relatively good versus the target. And the target is a good portfolio and probably, hopefully, a better balance sheet. So you acquire a company with a better balance sheet, a good portfolio at a relatively attractive price. And then you're a bigger company. So you say, okay, I'm more liquid. I get more support from the stock market. And I can probably manage it a bit better at lower cost. So I think generally speaking, this is where you can grow your earnings, let's say by 8, by 10%, and actually come out stronger as a company. A better balance sheet and a better cost structure. So I think, you know, with REITs, it's like, yes, you invest in real estate, but at the same time, you also invest in a company, and that company can create value. So the real estate should create its own value. Mm-hmm. You need a smart management team that understands that, and then you add that all together, you should be able to get good returns. I think that's a bit different than the private market, call it like that.
Okay, sure. Going back to interest rates, as we mentioned earlier on, we're expected to see rate cuts this year. How do you think that might affect the REITs market?
Well, it's definitely a positive sign that we're past the worst on rates. We're still, like I said before, it's also long-term interest rates that are... It's not like the REITs are financed on short-term debt. There are some markets that short-term debt is a bigger thing, like Sweden. So indeed, Sweden, might benefit more than a UK because of the debt structure. Yeah. Is it really then the underlying real estate that dictates your returns? Then it's a little bit more, the interest rates that dictate it. But definitely, I would say if long-term rates and economic growth somewhat slow down, so you see in the U.S. economic growth coming down, mm-hmm. Europe wasn't that good at all to start with. If inflation, if the disinflation continues, I think that would make me more positive. So the long-term rates also need to stay kind of where they are, or maybe even lower. So then, we have a inverse yield curve. So the short term is higher than the long term. I think that has to stay inverse in a way. So you lower the short term rates, but then the long term rates will also kind of be lowered on that curve. If economic growth would pick up, I think that's still not helping us that much, because that would mean maybe the curve goes flat or up.
Yeah.
So that means short term rates go down, long term rates go up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you still have, the same financing costs as we have today, probably.
Okay, sure. And can you tell me, do you have a few examples of how you're currently positioning within your portfolio? It'd be interesting to know what kind of regions and sectors you're looking at, where you have some convictions, what your overweights and underweights are. Could you talk me through that?
Yeah, definitely. I think We've been quite early in the retail sector, which was a bit a non-consensus call because of e-commerce. Everybody likes the logistics sector. So during COVID, we started to increase our exposure on retail. Mm-hmm. I think today it's more consensus today. So people say, hey, retail is in a renaissance. People want to invest again in it. I think it still looks good. You have a relatively high cap rate, relatively high dividend yield. On the listed market, you also have good platforms, especially in Europe, less so in the UK. UK, not much is left over, to be honest. Mm-hmm. The last company that's over, that's still restructuring. But I think, it can be interesting to also invest in a company that restructures in the retail space. So I think retail is a good sector. Second, I think it's still logistics is a sector that, was loved a lot during COVID because of e-commerce. I think it's still a sector that has, some good development yields, good companies, good rental growth. The portfolios are also under-rented, so you kind of, if a tenant expires, you can increase the rent. Or if there's a rent review in the UK, you can also increase the rent to market. So I think that's a good sector with some growth. And another sector that we spoke shortly about was self-storage, where we owned some companies that were taken private. It's a sector that's still a little bit coming out of the COVID boom, has to go and dealing with somewhat a weaker housing market in the UK mostly.
Yeah.
But I think if you look through somewhat lower interest rates, especially here, you can argue the short-term interest rates will help the UK residential market more. UK is more exposed to short-term mortgages. So I think that could revive the housing market somewhat. And then with more housing transactions, I think the self-storage market in the UK has definitely a good outlook. Next to the housing market, I think still the self-storage market is also benefiting from the urbanization trend and a certain part of e-commerce and all kind of smaller businesses. So I think with that sector, if you say, okay, I might not be able to call the bottom today or the next 3 months, But with a 3 to 5 year view, yeah, definitely, I think it's a good moment to increase exposure.
What's your view on the sector's had quite a lot of speculation about it last few years, which is a commercial office space. Obviously, we're undergoing something of a revolution in that area since COVID.
I think if you ask my US colleagues, definitely the big short, and that has worked very well. It's worked very well for us. In Europe, it's a bit different. I think we are short the sector, but not because of the working from home. I think more because the yields were so low in Europe. We had zero interest rates. So the cap rates went sub 3%, maybe around 3%, maybe 3.5% or so. That's just too low for offices. Because you have the capex, you have to spend the money, and you, and especially after COVID, you can argue, okay, you really have to have to have the right office. Yeah. But you know, West End rents are growing. West End rents are growing. Paris rents have been growing. Stockholm has been a bit weaker. I think Spain is pretty okay. So it's not. Yeah, you can't generalize. Are there any companies that... Yeah, there are some companies that are doing well, actually. There are so, even some companies that are trading an all-time high in offices. So, yes, it's not a sector that, yeah, you can say, hey, let's buy some offices and make some money. No. But if you really do the work and you can find that that one kind of company that is indeed in the right market with the right properties, yes, you can make a good return. It's probably a little bit, then I would say maybe the private market can do that better because you really have to find. But, you know, like I said, we got some companies. And I think there are some companies that, yeah, might surprise on the upside the coming 24 months also. So, yeah, it's not a sector that we would, you know, write off as a whole, but. Yeah, try to find.
Okay, and just to finish off, do you have any allocation strategy from a regional perspective?
It's a good question. In Europe, it's a bit a mess now with the elections in France. So generally speaking, we're very much focused on the bottom up property stuff. Yeah. So less a regional focus. In today's markets, that's a bit tough. Yeah, that's a bit tough because you got the French elections, so the whole French market sells off. We've had Liz Truss in the UK last year. Now we have Sweden with short-term interest rates. So yeah, there's a bit of volatility around those things. But I would say as an active manager like us, and we always do the work, then that creates opportunities, I would argue. So probably when France sells off on the political risk, I would say, hey, this is more an opportunity to buy. There's some French companies that actually, have assets around the whole world, not only in France or around the whole continent. So, why would it need to sell off so much because of an election? So, I don't think that's and we look at the bonds of those companies. Yeah. They're well capitalized. Bonds don't move. So, I would say that's unjustified.
Okay, well, maybe a few opportunities in that space this year as there's so many elections.
We'll hope, yes. It's definitely a volatile year. But for us, as an active manager, that's part of our job. And, we continue to seek alpha during those volatile periods.
Yeah, good time to be active.
Yes.
Okay, well, Roger, thanks very much for joining us today. It's been great.
Thank you, Ian.